All right, we're going to end with this subject here. I know this is a common issue that people face. It is the issue of anger. And so we're going to learn a little bit more about anger, dealing with anger, and all of that. So before we begin, how about we open up with a word of prayer again? Father in heaven, we give you thanks, Lord. We give you thanks for this time. We can have a short, brief time of discussing a sin that often we face. And yet there is a part of anger that is righteous that we do desire to have. So Father, I pray, guide our time. Help us to understand how to deal with anger. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so anger. Anger here. We were to finish the question, I become angry or frustrated when? Okay, so somebody around you, go ahead and turn to the person next to you. Finish that sentence. What would you say? Complete the sentence. Maybe somebody in the pew in front of you. Okay, different people become angry, frustrated at different times for different reasons. This would be a case study, but we'll... Some people say, this case study I had here, we're going to skip this, but sometimes you have a friend who's always easygoing, nothing ever seems to bother them, they never display anger. You have another friend who says, you know what, it's better to get it out than hold it in. Is one better than the other, or why or why not? Now, this is interesting because I know that different people have conflict in different ways, and look at anger in different ways. There was a couple in our church, she was Korean, and he was Korean, she was Chinese. And the way they deal with conflict, when there's issues or whatever, getting mad is, you know, just they like to get it out, Koreans, okay? But you have somebody who's Chinese, they're like very quiet, very, you know, peace-loving, and don't say anything. So the way they deal with conflict is different in different cultures. But some say this, and they say, hey, it's better to get it out than hold it in. There are some false views about anger, false views, that it's caused by low self-esteem. It's what the world will say. Sometimes it's caused by low self-esteem. Or you need to manage your anger. Anger management. You ever see that? There's a movie called Anger Man. I need to manage my anger better. A false view is only natural. It's better than keeping it bottled up. It's only natural that everybody gets angry, so it's only natural. It's fine to be angry as long as you don't blow up. Don't let it get out of hand, and it's okay. Some people have that view. As long as your anger doesn't hurt others, you're entitled to it. You know, it's okay to be angry. As long as you don't hurt anybody by it, it's okay. Is that all right? Well, let's see the problem here. It's continued to become exacerbating in its extent.
Czar Cena, like your airline stuff. For a flight attendant strapped around the loop, passenger can see the duct tape after he broke two of the attendants, assaulted a third, who will read as the story of doing well.
Good morning, George. What a wild situation. The man had allegedly been drinking. The video of the incident is quite shocking. At one point, there's a thrashing physical confrontation. The largest flight attendants union in the country is now speaking out against Frontier Airlines and how it handled the aftermath of this, just the latest incident in the sky.
This morning, fallout growing from this disturbing flight fight, ending in a passenger being wrapped in tape. 22-year-old Maxwell Berry now facing charges, accused of unruly behavior on a Frontier Airlines flight from Philadelphia to Miami Saturday. Police say Berry had been drinking and groped two female flight attendants and assaulted a male flight attendant. Berry seen here swinging at the man trying to restrain him.
He started raising his voice, cursing. They angry at Larry that he was drunk.
The flight attendants trying to get him under control, duct taping him to his seat. The passenger who shot this video saying the crew did the best they could in the situation.
They were very professional, in my opinion. They had to restrain him because he was a danger for other passengers or himself.
Berry, arrested upon landing, now faces 3 counts of battery. But the airline under fire this morning for its handling of the crew members involved, saying in an initial statement the flight attendants had been suspended pending further investigation, claiming proper policies for restraining passengers had not been followed. Amid backlash from the union representing flight attendants, the airline revising its language to claim the employees are on paid leave This caught on camera fiasco is just another in a spate of incidents with unruly passengers this year. In its new weekly report, the FAA counting more than 3,700 such incidents since January 1st.
What we have been saying since the beginning of January is that this new circumstance in aviation is simply something that flight attendants have not been trained for. If we don't get it together really soon across aviation and government, it is going to make people question whether or not they can come to work and be safe, and whether or not they want to buy a ticket on an airplane.
What's the message, sir?
Well, even in whether it's going to be for flights, or whether it's going to be for driving, or whether it's going to be with your family, or whether it's going to be in whatever situation, anger is a part of what people face. Biblical examples of anger are abundant, okay? In Jesus' healing on the Sabbath, it says that he healed, they watched him, they healed a man whose hand was withered, they were watching him to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. And they asked him, is it lawful to do good, he said to them, or do harm on the Sabbath? After looking at them with anger, this is Jesus, looking around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. This is not the only time that the Lord Jesus was angry, but he was indignant. He was indignant. It says when Jesus saw that they didn't allow the children to come to him, he was indignant and said to them, permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Even the children who weren't allowed to come, the Lord Jesus was angry about. And then, of course, we remember the Lord Jesus when he became angry at the temple. He overturned the temple of the money changers and the those who were selling doves, because there were two. There were the money changers and there were the sacrificial animals that were being sold to the people. Okay? There are different instances in which Jesus displayed anger. Also, God's anger at the wilderness generation. It says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, therefore I was angry with this generation. Remember, the generation didn't believe God, they didn't go into the promised land, and therefore they were angry. God was angry with them for not trusting him. And then, of course, we see in Cain and Abel, in the story of Genesis chapter 4, when Cain brought an offering, Abel brought an offering, God was pleased with one, he was not pleased with the other. So Cain became very angry at his countenance fell. We have many situations of anger that are found in the Bible. But Jesus here equates anger with murder. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21-22. I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And he equates it, having said, you shall not commit murder. Whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. Anger is equated with murder in this passage. So, are we to be angry or not? I mean, is God committing murder then, or is Jesus committing murder when he's angry? What's the difference between that and what Jesus himself is saying? Colossians chapter 3 says, now you also put aside all of these. Put aside all of these. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Well, he says, put these all aside. These are sins. Put all of these sins aside. And he lists anger within them. Now, for those who say, well, it's okay to be angry as long as you don't blow up forever. Well, is that okay then? Is it okay to slander as long as you don't slander too much? Is it okay to use abusive speech as long as it's not too abusive? Is it okay to be angry and, as long as it's under control? There's some old Christian books that say anger, as long as it's under control, is okay. But how does that fit with this verse? It doesn't. It doesn't. Now, on the other hand, the parallel passage in Ephesians says, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. So what is it? Do we listen to Colossians and say, do not be angry, put them all aside, put all these sins aside, or do we be angry? What is the difference between the two? These are passages, one says it's okay, one says it's not okay, Jesus is angry, we see him, and yet on the other hand, Jesus says anger is equated to murder. How do we figure all that out? Is it okay or not? Well, the answer is that there are two types of anger, righteous anger and unrighteous anger. Righteous anger and unrighteous anger. And it depends upon the question, what and why are you angry, and would God be angry at the same thing? So let's look at this. How then can I know if my anger is righteous anger? Jerry Bridges right. First, righteous anger arises from an accurate perception of true evil, that this is a violation of God's moral law. It focuses on God, focuses on his will, not on me, not my will. And second, righteous anger is always self-controlled. It never causes one to lose his temper or retaliate in some vengeful way. In other words, look, it is right to be angry. Why was Jesus angry? He was angry because, oh, the money changers and those who were selling sacrificial animals in the temple were doing it. They were milking the people. They were taking advantage of the people. God was angry because the people had sinned. They had disobeyed God. God said, look, the promised land, I'm going to give it to you. I will be with you. I will help you to conquer the promised land. And what happened? They didn't believe God. They didn't trust God. God was angry with them, righteously so, because they disobeyed. They sinned. It is always right to be angry with sin and about sin. We should be, in fact. Somebody who never gets angry about anything, well, there might be a problem there too, because we should be upset when there is sin, because we want our heart to be the same as God's heart. We want to hate what God hates. We want to love what God loves. And if we hate what God hates, we're going to be angry at the same things God is angry about for the glory of God. Again, as he states here, anger of true evil, that is the violation of God's moral law. It focuses on God and his will, not on me and not on my will. Righteous anger is anger directed at the same thing God is angry about. So when we get angry, this is a key distinction of righteous anger versus unrighteous anger. This is the righteous anger that Ephesians talks about, be angry and yet do not sin. Would God, this is a key question, would God also be angry because of blank? So all of you had discussed earlier when you become angry. I become angry when blank, right? You shared with each other. Now ask yourself, would God also be angry at the same thing you just stated? I become angry when blank, okay? Just ask yourself that. Is that righteous or unrighteous anger? Now, I'll tell you, honestly, for the vast majority of us, we're going to say, most of the time when we get angry, it's because of unrighteous anger. God is not angry. Is God angry because that person pulled in front of you on the street and cut you off? Is God angry because... Many times, no. I don't think so. Many times it's because of our pride, our selfishness, our desire to be control. Why is it that we become unrighteously angry? Oh, because we have a perception we're mistreated. We don't get our way. We respond to somebody else. Somebody else is angry, so we're going to be angry also. Okay? What is it that we want? The question that we ask is, what is it we want so badly that we choose to be angry? That we choose to be angry. Now keep that in mind. We choose anger. Many times, maybe because we're offended or pride or whatever, but is God offended by something? He may not be, and if he's not, it's unrighteous anger. Proverbs 22 tells us that anger is learned. Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. All right? This is common, and this speaks to this idea of behavior that is copied. Now, all of us, since we were born, we copy, right? Many of you who have kids, no, your kids copy you. Many times when I'm counseling kids, you know, I'll ask the kids, who are you more like, do you think, your mother or your father? And they'll tell me, oh, I'm more like my mother, like this, or my father, like that. Because they copy mannerisms, the way they talk, the way they act, the way they respond to life. And the way they respond to life, and this is why parents, it's so important for modeling to happen when you come to situations, because many times your kids will copy. If you're a parent who has an anger or temper issue, you know what? When it comes to the same kind of situations, your kids can easily respond in the same way because it's a learned behavior. It is learned behavior. Or you will learn his ways. You hang around somebody who's given to anger, you hang around with a person who blows his top, you will learn. The person who blows his top in an unrighteous way wants something. They want to get their way, and they find that they get their way by becoming angry. And many times we learn that if we want to get our way, we become angry too. So we call that unrighteous anger. This is a sinful type of anger. And unrighteous anger, what it does is it perpetuates sin. It perpetuates sin, all right? So an example of sinful controlling anger is that you might have a volunteer in your children's ministry, right? The parent doesn't like what has happened. You have maybe in here, a child has a temper or sinful anger, okay? A child has a temper or sinful anger. So they go on and they complain to their parent, and the parent doesn't want to confront their child's bad behavior, and at least in our neck of the woods where our city is, many times the parent doesn't discipline their child and they want to give in to whatever the child wants. So they blame the volunteer, they blame the children's ministry worker, they blame the youth volunteer or whatever it might be, whoever it might be. But because of the child's sinful anger, rather than correcting that sinful selfishness that might be in that child, because God is not angry, the child just wants their way, and the parent doesn't address it, they don't address the issue of their heart, the sinful anger, what they try to do is they try to appease, they try to make the situation better so that the child will be happy, rather than training our children to be content in every circumstance, even though it may be difficult. All right, or to respond in a godly manner, to talk to their teacher, or whatever it may be, in a godly way. What happens if they take it out in bitterness, and the volunteer or the teacher sometimes quit? My point is that many times in many situations, anger, which is unrighteous, is sin, and it capitulates and it grows into something much worse. So we become angry, and the question is, how do we face that anger? Many times we say, he, she, or whoever, they may be so angry or frustrated or annoyed. Frustration and annoyance is a mild form of anger. What is that? We're blaming others. So when I say, Newton made me so mad, now he didn't actually make me mad, did he? No. Maybe he did something. I just don't like it. And I chose to respond in anger. Does he actually control me? In fact, you might have two people. One person, the situation happens to two people. One person gets mad, the other person doesn't. Why? One person chose to respond. But yet, what do? Our initial reaction is so much so to blame somebody else. They made me so mad. That is not a true statement, because they didn't do anything. They may have incited you, but you control your own self. You take responsibility for your own actions and your own attitudes. In facing up to our anger, we need to realize that no one causes us to be angry. Someone else's words or actions may be the occasion of our anger, but the cause lies deep within us, usually in our pride or selfishness or desire to control. I agree to do something for a friend, then I forget. When my failure comes to light, he becomes quite angry with me. Why did he become so visibly upset? It was because my failure had made him look bad in front of some of his friends. This is not to excuse my forgetfulness and the real fact that I had put him in an awkward situation, but the cause of his anger was not my failure, but his pride. We may become angry because someone has mistreated us in some way. A person gossips about us, and we hear about it, we get angry. Why? It's likely because our reputation or our character has been questioned. Again, the cause is our pride. We get angry because we don't get our way. We frequently see this in children, but it is just as true of us who are adults. Often in marriage, either the husband or the wife will have a stronger personality and will want to call the shots in the home, even at the expense of the other's desires or good judgment. When that person doesn't easily get his or her way, he or she tends to become angry. We get angry as a response to someone else's anger. A husband comes home expecting dinner to be on the table. When it's not, he becomes angry and verbalizes his anger in hot and hurtful words. The wife gets angry in return, but she may not verbalize her anger. Instead, she seethes inwardly with resentment. Her anger is just as sinful as her husband's. A man is chewed out by his boss, possibly in front of fellow employees. He can't retaliate in kind. But he, like the unfortunate wife, will also seethe in resentment. Anger not only perpetuates, but oftentimes, like I mentioned, we blame others and we say, no, they made me angry. But we control our own self. Somebody else does not control us. And when we realize that, we have to take responsibility over our own sin. We chose to respond in anger. That is why in many situations, you'll have some people who will respond to the same situation in anger, others who will not. Because there is what is inside of us that comes out. Like I mentioned this morning, it's like an orange. You don't know what's inside until the pressure comes in and they squeeze. And what happens is you'll find out if that juice is sweet or if it's sour or if there's no juice at all. What comes out of our heart is going to be anger or not anger, depending upon our own response. Why am I angry? So you should ask yourself, should I be angry? And would God be angry at the same things? And if it is unrighteous anger, here are the steps. We confess our sin of unrighteous anger. We have violated Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. Ask for forgiveness of the one that you were angry at, if appropriate, and ask yourself, what is it? What is it that I really wanted so badly? Was it a godly desire? Because if it was a godly desire, now what's our response? Would God be angry at the same thing? If he is, then we have every right to be angry. I mean, it's right to be angry at sin. It's right to be angry at injustice. Those are good things, and we need to call upon God to help us not to let that get out of control. But it's a godly anger. It's a righteous anger. We find that cases in the Old Testament as well. Ask yourself, what is it that I want so badly, if it's unrighteous anger, that I'm willing to sin in order to get it? Okay? Many times, it is an idol in our heart. We want something so badly. If we don't get it, we don't get that respect, we don't get that love, or we don't get that whatever, we respond in anger, in unrighteous anger. So Matthew 15 tells us, as I mentioned this morning and in the other slide, the things that come out of the mouth are from the heart, those that defile the man. Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, and being that it means murders, you know, we murder people in our heart all the time when we become angry, right? Unrighteous anger, we murder people. We are a murderer, and we murder people in our heart all the time. That's why we call these things the idols of our heart. The idols of our heart. Because what's most important to me? Well, if it's my stuff, my way, what people think of me, if I idolize in my heart how I look, being the best, or having fun, maybe it's my comfort, maybe I idolize my own comfort, my own desires. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to blow up. Things that, how do I respond when I don't get what's important to me, right? When I don't get what's important to me, the idols of my heart, I decide I'm going to fight, or I'm going to buy things, or I'm going to go eat to satisfy my desires. Okay? These are idols of the heart. What is it in our heart that we want so much that we become angry about something in an unrighteous way? And the key question is, would God or Christ be angry at the same thing? Now sometimes, in cases, you might be justifiably angry. In the case that, hey, you know, Christ does not like it when let's say your children are just outright defiant, you know, and become angry at their defiance. Because that's sinful. So if it's unrighteous anger, we overcome it by, number one, we take responsibility. We don't blame others and say, they made me so angry. You know what? We chose to be angry. This is unrighteous anger. This is the category of unrighteous, sinful anger. We take responsibility. We recognize this is not Colossians. This is a violation of Colossians 3:8. Not an acceptance of Ephesians chapter 4. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. We change our attitude and perspective towards the other person. You know what? I chose to respond in anger. Lord, forgive me. And we decide, hey, we have to change our perspective on that whole thing. And we ask for forgiveness, or we forgive somebody else who has sinned against us. Okay? Rather than continuing on in our unrighteous anger. So, I become angry when, and this is just a little homework assignment for some, look at the things on our list. What's the difference? And, you know, sometimes when I have a longer time, we have a little Bible study on an example here with Abishai and David. Okay? But remember, you know what? We can overcome anger, sinful anger, right? You know, the sovereignty of God is one of those doctrines that is one of the most comforting doctrines in all of Scripture. And it's helpful in counseling all the time. Because if we remember that God is in control, we know, too, that that person is also under God's control. That person did what they did, and God is in control of them as well. My responsibility is simply to respond in a godly manner. Am I going to choose to respond in a godly manner or not? And we know that whatever happens, all things work for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. If you think to yourself of the situation with Joseph, who was sold into slavery in Genesis 37 to 50, we think of that situation in which he himself was, you know, judged unrighteously and mischaracterized and sold, etc. He had a lot to be angry about. He had a lot to be angry about. But God is in control, and the text seems to picture him as an individual who, even when the baker and the cupbearer forgot about him, he seemed to continue to be faithful to the Lord, walk with God, believe, and his faith was still in the Lord, and the Lord used him later on in great ways. God is in control. We do these things, and a homework suggestion, if you're struggling with anger, you put off and put on. We talked a little bit about that. Put them all aside. This is Colossians 3. Put off anger. That's what you're supposed to do. Stop being angry. Recognize that you have a problem. Put it aside. And then, here's what verses 12 to 14 in Colossians tells us. Put on something. As those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another. Now, a lot of times, anger comes because of we have an interpersonal difficulty with somebody else. Somebody else doesn't meet our expectations, we become angry. Well, give them the benefit of the doubt. Think compassionately. Put yourself in their shoes. Maybe they were late because they, whatever, something out of their control. Maybe they're having a difficult time. Be gentle. Be humble. Bear with one another. Forgive each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, forgive, just as you have also been forgiven. Put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. You know, when we have this idea of change, it's just like those who are taught, they're addicted to nicotine, they smoke. What do? Do they overcome their addiction simply by saying, don't smoke anymore, cold turkey? Very, very few people can ever attain that. What do? Instead, they give them gum to keep their they give them nicotine gum or nicotine patch, something to help them along the way. That's what they do in order to help. Put off that and put on this. Not the world even knows that. You've got to do something else instead. You just can't say stop. Stop being angry. We know that unrighteous anger is sinful. Godly anger is okay, but you know, unrighteous anger, this is how you deal with it. In fact, this is what he does. This is sinful anger. All of these are sins. Wrath, malice, slander. You have a problem with abusive speech? What do? Instead, stop. Stop gossip, stop slander. What do? Instead, you put on a heart of compassion. You put on a heart of humility. You know, like I mentioned, hurt people. Maybe somebody said something. You know, I had this guy who was standing in the store one day. I was standing in the store. It was a hardware store. I was buying some things. And it was the morning time. And I'm generally a happy person. So I'm carrying my things. And the guy right in front of me, he says, he puts his stuff down on the counter. And he says, smirking. And then he says, you know what? I'd have just come over there and knocked that smile right off your face. And he was like upset. And the only thing I could think of was, oh, poor guy. He must have gotten up on the wrong side of the bed this morning. I wonder what's going on with him, you know? And the second thought I thought was, he didn't, and the cashier, you know, cashier is just wide-eyed. Because, you know, you don't talk like that to people just that you don't even know. He's a complete stranger. He's threatening. He's already threatened to, you know, that could actually be a crime. It's a crime to threaten somebody else. And here, you know, to do that, and then I was thinking of this, now if he does do something like that, here's where I'm going to run, and I'm looking to figure out how I'm going to get out of there. But some people are like that. They just have this issue, but what you're supposed to think, you're thinking, am I going to get mad at him back because he's mad at me? Am I going to be angry also? Or am I going to think, my goodness, maybe he has something going on in his life. And so when you approach somebody, let's say you approach somebody who has an anger issue, you know, you don't approach them and find out, hey, you know what, you have an anger issue. You approach somebody and you find out, how are you doing? You know, and you care for them and you love for them. Because there might be something else in their life that's stirring the pot up. Yes, we have to deal with their unrighteous anger, but maybe they're going through some very difficult time, and maybe no one ever has really gently cared for them, and so they're angry. And of course, if they don't know the Lord, or they do know the Lord, I had somebody who came and they were at church, and they confessed to me, before I became a Christian, I was angry all the time. in my heart. So, if you're talking to somebody who's not a Christian and you're trying to help them, what are you going to do? You're going to have these 7 steps by which you can help them overcome their anger? No. When they got saved, that anger disappeared. Do they struggle with it? I'm sure they do. But before they became a Christian, they were angry all the time. And then you can have them read. This is an example of homework that you might give to somebody. And this is just a practical way. You know, if we had more time, we'd talk about the weeds of anger, because if you allow anger to continue on, it sprouts, and you can choose to do a couple of things. You can choose to forgive and forget, or to overlook it, or to talk about it in this case. Or if you let it, if you let resentment build, what happens is that it grows into like a weed, and it grows into something that is insidious, and eventually it comes out too, because it becomes a cancer to the heart. So deal with your anger. Deal with your anger while it's still a seed, before it becomes a massive, massive field of weeds in which there's a huge problem in your life. Okay? Recognize it as sin, confess your sin, read Colossians chapter 1 through 17 over and over and over again. Ask the Lord for help to put on a heart of compassion, humility, kindness, and forbearance, tolerating one another, forgiving one another. And then the Lord will help you through His Word to not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. That's what we want to do. Transform by the renewing of our mind so that we can prove what the Word of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Okay, so why don't we close in a word of prayer? And if you have questions, then we can talk about it afterwards. I don't want to keep everybody here over time. I know it's a long day, but unless there are any announcements that you have, Newton? Okay, so let's close in a word of prayer. We'll close for today. Hope the men will help clean up if there's anything to clean up. And then you can feel free. Be happy to stick around and talk. Lord in heaven, we give you thanks for this afternoon, this wonderful time about these subjects that we can apply and help others. Help us, Father, to care for others that we want to help them overcome their sin. And Father, we're sinners saved by grace. We pray, God, that you would help us to understand our own sin so we can overcome them and be people who are victorious in our Christian life. Thank you once again for your grace in our lives. Thank you for today, and pray that you would bless each and every individual who is here. Pray that your face would shine upon them, your hand would bless them, and that you would encourage them through the rest of this week. In Jesus' name, amen.